It's time for our monthly update from Encourage, and the Encourage Foundation office is located at 478 East Grand Avenue, a beautiful building right across from Hotel Mead in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. And I guess the title for our program today is What If? Cori Amundsen is here, and she's brought along a special guest. I'm going to let her introduce her special guest, and we're going to be talking about a special type of grant. What If? And with that, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing good, and after the healthy snacking on locally grown microgreens, I'm feeling ready to go now.
You're all energized. I see that. Okay. Well, thank you so much for having us today, and today I brought along with me Penny Van Tassel. And Penny just received a What If grant along with some friends, and it's called, the project that they're doing is called Monarch Encouragement. So hello, Penny.
Hi, Penny. Welcome.
Hello there.
Okay, Monarch Encouragement. Let me guess. This has something to do with monarch butterflies.
You are so perceptive.
So talk about this, the idea, and then we'll get into your idea, and then let's talk about how this got into a What If grant.
I got the idea last summer after Richard Breen had, like, raised and set out monarch caterpillars for adoption to numerous people.
We had some here at the station that we watched.
Yep, so what she's referring to is when we did the monarch rearing for the Tribune Project last summer, where we had Richard and many other community members rearing monarchs from...
It was fun.
Tiny little eggs all the way to the caterpillars, and then once they became in the chrysalis, we actually sold those for a $5 donation to the Tribune Building Project.
Okay.
And we raised so many, and I did, I think, about 100 myself. You get pretty attached to them. And after they're gone, the butterflies are gone, I thought, well, we could continue this work in some way. Richard was kind of worn out from all the activity he did. But I had a suggestion. I had an idea. And I said, what if we... whoever's interested, we make some kind of a corridor in Wisconsin Rapids that people could enjoy walking or riding bikes to and watch for monarch butterflies in the gardens, in the, you know, along roadsides and stuff. And,
oh, what a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, nobody said anything back to me on the web until Carol Davis finally said, I like this idea, let's see what we can do with it. And then we went to a meeting with Clean Green, and we talked about how it could work, and they said, let's see if we can do this. They liked it. So then we have four people in our committee, and we created a plan to go ahead this year and start on that using Lake Wazicha and Central Wisconsin Rapids at this point for monarch habitat, increasing the number of gardens, trying to educate people more about how to be good to pollinators, how to maybe be more sustainable.
Okay. Yeah, like I had someone called up on over the back fence not too long ago who pointed out that everybody likes to get rid of their dandelions right away, but they're really important for the bees, their food source.
Definitely.
For the bees. And when you're killing off your dandelions, you're killing off, when we're all concerned about bees being around. And the, and so, wow, that was kind of eye-opening for
me. Yeah, there is a use for dandelions.
Yeah, well, they're part of nature.
I mean, yeah, they are.
Okay. So that led to you applying for a What If grant?
Yeah. And so I had to write down my idea and get more clear on how to go about that with my friends and my committee. And we submitted it, and then I was asked to give a little bit clearer, more clarity on a couple things, which I did, and it wasn't really hard at all. Mm-hmm. And so we were awarded a grant.
Okay. Now, where are you... you said you're having these areas for the monarch in Wisconsin Rapids and in Lake Wazicha area. Where about in those two areas?
Well, already there's Marley's Mile, but we hope to work with...
Where's that located?
It's near the dam on Lake Wasatch near White Beach.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we'd like to work with the county, which I'm talking to them about not mowing more areas. We're going to do a survey there and see where we can add more native flowers.
And, oh, that would be pretty.
Yeah, just they have a habit of mowing just because it's their job.
Yeah, and it's also costly. And I think the way you sell it to them, if you don't mow this area, you save on the costs involved with mowing. So
true.
You save the county money.
But you also have to educate the public because a lot of people think it should be mowed.
Yeah.
It should be mowed because it looks messy. So we have to figure out how to balance that out.
Well, I'm kind of glad you brought that up because one of the things over at Sand Valley with their nature area mm-hmm. is to bring back the natural prairie. And if you go to the Sand Valley, if you go to their nature area where it's open to the public, they're recreating what was natural there. It was a prairie. And it's different looking than what you think.
Yeah.
This area used to be full of areas like that with flowers and the like, and probably monarchs.
Well, a lot of lawns are also called green deserts. There's really very little there except for Japanese beetle grubs. So our lawns really are not helpful to nature, so we have to balance out how much lawn do you really need, and then, you know, you don't know where to go to plant native things. What do you
do? I'll sign up. I mean, I'm if I don't have to mow any, and if I can have some, I've already seen some homes, some of them master gardener homes, where they've replaced their lawns almost entirely with native plants. They look beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot less maintenance.
A while, it should be that way anyways.
Yeah.
Less work.
Less work. So, hey, that's an incentive. So you got the grant, and in downtown Wisconsin Rapids, where are you looking
at? We have some sites. The River Block has a riverside site, and also at the building itself, Tracy Arnold and Emily
we've had Tracy here.
Are going to be in charge of that one. So we want people to adopt their own site, and we can try to help provide some guidance and maybe point them in some directions if they need help, which people do. We're working with the city on maybe Gaynor Park, which is across the river,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the riverside area that already has gardens, but some of those are getting given up because the master gardeners don't have time.
Okay, I just got a crazy idea. As part of these sites, how about some educational signage?
We have that in mind, yep.
Because, you say, well, people... No, yeah. What you are looking at is habitat, the plants, you know, just some nice signage that people would look at and read and go, oh, didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. And the other site that is kind of going to be really exciting is the Expressway Hillside.
Oh, okay.
So we have a test plot given to us from the city, and we're going to be working on that next week, creating a prairie restoration on a small area. And if that works out, which it's going to take 2 or 3 years for it to look like something, then we're hoping we can increase that and gradually eliminate a lot of the mowing on the hillside.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is. And like I said, it's about educating. It's about patience,
mm-hmm.
because you're dealing with nature. Nature has her own speed. But let's talk, before we go to break, what if grant. She had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to encourage. What is a what if grant?
So what if grants are created for individuals like Penny who have great ideas or have talent or a love or a passion for something, and they talk to other people and they go, well, what if we created, you know, this really great idea where we, you know, encourage the monarchs to stay in habitat here? And those folks then go, how do we make this happen? We need something. We need some money, usually, is the starting point for a lot of great ideas. And so what if grants are intended for residents coming together around a great idea to help them bring that to action? There's smaller grants, up to $2,500, but the beauty of those grants is that when Penny fills out her grant application, which is very easy to fill out, right, Penny?
That's right.
Pretty simple. She actually gets to bring her idea to the residents that make up the What If Grant Committee. So these decisions, where these dollars are going, are being distributed by residents. So that committee is made up of residents here in our community who hear Penny's idea with her friends and say, you know what, that sounds awesome, Penny. We're going to award you a What If Grant. So it's really just about residents coming together around something they're really passionate about and how do they make that happen. And then from the Encourage standpoint, we would just like to see whatever you're working on, whatever project or idea is, that it brings people together, that it's promoting community, that it's building relationships.
Like she just talked about.
Exactly.
With the people that are helping you. Mm-hmm. With this idea, whether it be the employees over at, by the River Block building or mm-hmm. other folks, is there a way for folks to contribute to your group? Do you have a group, a formal group?
We are working on all the little details of that, but we have one called Monarch Encouragement. They could find it on Facebook.
Okay.
My name's in the phone book, too, Penny Van Tassel. And we have some information at Family Natural Foods for anyone that wants to stop in and get something.
Like some great microgreens.
So we're hoping to create like a community of people that want to be gardeners or want to go looking at monarch butterflies. We hope to, you know, have some social events around that.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I got to take a quick, but this is an example of what if. An idea. You get people together. They go to Encourage. You meet your fellow citizens on that What If committee. You get the grant. And now we start building a bigger circle.
It gets and bigger as it goes.
Yeah, but that's a good positive circle. Yeah. In part two, we're getting our monthly update from Encourage. Corey Anfinson is here. And Penny Van Tassel, who is a What If grant recipient. And hers is the Monarch Encouragement group. They're trying to encourage the growth of habitat so we can enjoy monarch butterflies here in our area. And Penny, again, if someone, if there's another monarch butterfly enthusiast or a prairie enthusiast who would like to get in touch with you, go ahead and tell them how they can reach you.
Okay, I'm in the phone book, Penny Van Tassel. I'm on the website, Monarch Encouragement. Well, it's a Facebook page.
Okay.
They can reach me that way. And we have some paperwork at Family Natural Foods. We're hosting a native plant sale because monarchs need flowers, and native plants are the best supply of. Well, you have to have milkweed.
Okay.
Monarchs have to have milkweed in order to lay their eggs in the caterpillars.
So where is the sale happening?
We've got the sale forms at Family Natural Foods.
Okay.
And the cutoff is next week, so you gotta get your order in.
Yeah, go over to Family Natural Foods and do that there. Well, congratulations on a great idea. And that leads to someone else that they want to get involved with the What If program or learn more.
Yes, they can go right to the Encourage website. We have all of our information out there for What If grants. Like I said, it is a very easy application. You know, when people hear, oh, I got to apply for a grant, they get nervous because they think, oh, it's technical and it's going to be long and they're going to ask me all these questions. It's really simple because what we want to do is have a conversation. So really all that application is a few simple questions where we can then ask you more to learn more about what your vision is for your project, and then the residents on our committee will get together and talk to you about your project and make decisions if there's a grant going to be awarded.
Okay. This, talking about community.
Yes.
Calling all volunteers for the annual community picnic.
Yeah, plans are underway. We're always the first Wednesday in August, which falls on the 1st this year. So,
oh, wow.
Very exciting. But, yep, we're going to be looking at needing around 300 volunteers again. So if people are interested, later today we should have the link up and available on our website so people can actually sign up online to volunteer.
Okay. You know, I'll be helping you.
We just automatically sign you up. I don't think you get an out anymore. Until you tell me no, I'm just going to always assume yes.
Okay. Just make sure I get the scripts I have to read. Okay.
Yep, and all volunteers, you know, usually it's a two-hour shift. We have some during setup during the day, and then we have two different shifts in the evening because the picnic runs from 4:30 till 8, and then we have cleanup. But we have been so fortunate that we have the relationship that we do with the football team. So we have Assumption coming over again in the morning to help us with our setup of our tents and getting our tables and chairs out. And then at the end of the night, the heavy lift goes to the LHS football players who come and do all that heavy lifting when we're all exhausted. So,
well, we're thank
so
you
fortunate.
To the guys, the both football teams. Thank you, guys. We appreciate that. Okay. Some Tribune teasers. First off, tomorrow's going to be a big day. We got the Central Wisconsin Rural Economic Development Summit here. A lot of state lawmakers going to be here. Reggie's involved Regional Economic Growth Initiative, which is part of Encourage or outgrowth of Encourage.
Yeah, so Reggie was an outgrowth of Encourage, and they are hosting a regional economic summit here in Wisconsin Rapids tomorrow, and we are fortunate enough that we're a part of that, and we are a sponsor of that along with others, but we are going to be giving a small little drive-by tour of the Tribune. You're going to also see anyone who goes to that event is going to see the Triangle redevelopment, the new Boys and Girls Club and YMCA, and then there's a field trip in the afternoon out to Sand Valley.
There's
airport
the,
ribbon cutting.
The groundbreaking ceremony at 1:30 out at the Alexander Field for the expansion or the work that's being done with the state money that was approved for the expansion to handle all those jets that are flying in. So this
Absolutely.
Is a big day. Everybody be a good ambassador.
Yes.
Please, be
so
a good...
We're excited to be a part of that tomorrow, yes.
Yes, it should be. Any other Tribune teasers?
Yes. So one of the things we've been thinking about is, you know, while we wait for the building to be open, why don't we experiment and try some activities that are going to mimic some of the things that you're going to see or be able to do and experience in the Tribune. So this summer, we're going to be experimenting. So much like Encourage always does, we're going to offer up different things for different folks. What you might be excited about, I may not. But the first one's coming up on May 23rd. In the morning, we are going to have a resident come down in front of the Tribune, and she is in her 80s. Her name is Mary Millman, and she is going to give a Tai Chi class. So it's Wellness Wednesday right in front of the Tribune.
Okay.
We're really excited about that, and she told me when I met her last week, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I'm in my 80s. So it's a beginner class, and she's gearing it towards older adults. It's really just a lot of stretching.
It's supposed to be very good for older adults.
And we're going to be looking at our beautiful river. So it's just imagine when you're in that Tribune building, that's what we're going to get to see. So we'll be down there for that. And then coming up in June, we have on June 14th, it's our Brews, Brats, and Bags event. So we're going to be cooking up some brats and serving some beer down in the Tribune parking lot. And that's the same night as Cinema Under the Stars and the Chalk It Up event.
Oh, okay.
And so you can come down at 5:30 and enjoy a brew.
Okay.
And abroad, and then you can play some bags. We're just going to have bags games out for anyone to play, and then you can head over to Chalk It Up and watch the movie afterwards.
Okay.
Keeping everybody entertained.
Okay. I think that's part of Cranberry Blossom Fest.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a great community event. That's a great idea. Okay.
Yeah. So we're just trying out a few things. We have other things coming up. We're going to have, offhand, we'll have some cooking demos and cooking events. We're going to be over at the farmer's market one day talking about, you know, what do I do with these things that I buy at the farmer's market? And we'll have a chef, you know, talking about, here's some products you can buy, and here's what you can make or how to use them.
And that to tie in with the Tribune on that, folks, is previously when Kelly was here, she announced the fact that Mid-State Technical College as one of the growth industries is hospitality as a result of what's happening with Sand Valley and the like, and they're going to be having a culinary program.
Yes.
At Mid-State Technical College, and they want to use the Tribune.
Yes, they want to use the instructional kitchen that's going to be housed within the Tribune. So that's a really exciting partnership. We're thankful to be able to be working with them on that. And so we want to experiment with that a little bit this summer and fall. So these are just getting started, so they're teasers.
But teasers are fun.
Teasers are fun, and, you know, who doesn't want to have a brew down by the river with me on June 14th?
I'll be there.
Do you have gluten-free Christmas cider?
I'll have water.
Yeah. I'll be there, brat and beer. Okay. And then Encourage has been having some fun summer zoo programs over at the Rapid Zoo.
So we are so fortunate to have the Helen Mead Fund at Encourage, which supports the zoo events that are housed out at the Helen Mead Zoo House in the summertime. And so we usually have three events throughout the summer, one every month. And our first one is actually coming up on June 12th. So right after school gets out that Friday, you can come to the zoo the next Tuesday. And we're going to have Noelle Tarrant from ZooZort there. And then we also have coming up in July on the 10th. They're always Tuesdays. It's the second Tuesday. The Minnesota Zoo Mobile.
Famous and very popular.
Yes. Come early because that one fills up. They all do. They're so much fun. And it's air-conditioned in there, so it's lovely. And then David Stokes is coming back again in August. So we're really excited to be able to do that through the Helen Mead Fund.
And it's a great way for parents and their children to get together, maybe have a little lunch, see a fun program at the zoo. And spend the night, some quality time together as a family.
Absolutely, and it's completely free. Mm-hmm. So it's funded through the Helen Mead Fund. So folks can come out. The shows are at 11 and at 1. So it's perfect timing, like you said, enjoy a picnic lunch in the park right there. Maybe visit the zoo before or after.
Right.
But definitely, I would get there a little bit early because it does fill up pretty quickly.
Now, in the meantime, with Monarch Encouragement, can someone join your group?
We would welcome people to join us, and we're looking for people who want to have a Monarch Way Station. We can provide the signs and the certification
What's a Monarch Way Station?
It's at least a 10x10 garden with native plants suitable for monarchs to nectar and lay their eggs. And the monarchs stop there on their way up and on their way home. So we want to have people who are willing to share this with the public, and if they have a boulevard or some land next to a road in Wisconsin Rapids, we're hoping to kind of focus it on the central area of the city, but we are open to anybody.
I have an idea to offer your group. After you get these different locations, it could be maybe you put a little map.
Well, we have a map. I didn't get to mention it, but one of our group members created a map, and it's on. We'll have to have a link on our Facebook page, but the butterflies are the gardens already in existence, and the caterpillars are proposed sites that need an adoptive gardener to take care of.
Okay. So, something like the visitor, but maybe when they stop and visit the Tribune building when it's up, they pick up, you guys do do stuff with monarchs? I want to see these.
Take a little tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because ecotourism, I've had Stephanie Klett from the tourism department talk about one of the fastest growing areas in tourism. Ecotourism. People love seeing what other communities are doing to in the area of sustainability, flowers. I mean, just nice environment. People.
We were hoping maybe we could figure out a way you could log in your sightings of monarchs on an app or something, but so far we don't really know how we're going to do that.
Well, so what I hear you saying is you need someone with some technical skills also to join your group.
I was just going to say, if you're into monarchs and you have technical skills, you know about apps, maybe give Penny Van Tassel a call or check her out on Facebook.
Yeah. We can use all kinds of talent.
That's it. Well, that's what I'm here about, trying to get talent. And also, the community picnic, again, August 1st this year. Same general location.
Yep, we'll be downtown in front of the Tribune.
And same general idea. We're going to have a nice big meal.
We're kicking it old school, and it's going to be a very traditional picnic menu this year, which we're really excited about. And we got approvals so that the food lines will actually be housed, and you'll be walking through the Tribune building this year.
Okay, well, fun. Stay tuned for more. Ladies, thank you so much. A very exciting update.